God's grace and mercy and peace for each of you from our Lord and Father, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save what is lost. Tonight I'm preaching on the gospel reading, Luke chapter 19, the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us is so deep and so vast that we can't really fathom it. And you have sent Jesus to seek and to save what was lost. Father, if any of us are lost in any way tonight, would Jesus please find us and bring us home to you, to your grace. Please, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on my words and open our hearts and our ears so that we may hear your word and we may hear the gracious invitation of Jesus. I pray this in his name. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, for Zacchaeus, it was money. In fact, for a lot of people in the Gospel of Luke, it was money. Money that led them astray. Money that led them to be lost. Money that led them away from God and into a dark place where they couldn't rescue themselves. For Zacchaeus, it was money. Just one chapter earlier in Luke, we read of a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "You know, you're actually pretty good. You've kept most of the commandments. But just give all your money to the poor and then come and follow me." And the man leaves sad, downcast. He can't do it. And Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. For Zacchaeus, it was money. I wonder what it is for me and for you. Zacchaeus is a prime example of a verse that comes earlier in Luke where Jesus says, "What good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very own self?" Zacchaeus was one of the richest men in the city of Jericho, and yet he was also lost. He was miserable, he was alone, he was far from God, and he wasn't good friends with anyone else. It's all about finding the lost, this passage, this amazing encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is asking three of the primary questions that human beings have tried to answer and asked down through history. Important questions, questions that gnaw at our soul. And he's looking in all the wrong places for the answers. The questions are around intimacy, adequacy, and identity. The intimacy question is, am I loved? Does someone love me? And for Zacchaeus, the answer to that was most likely no. Nobody really loved him. Nobody cared for him. He was a scoundrel. He was worse than a scoundrel. He was someone who made his living from the misery of others. He was rich because he was a chief tax collector, which meant that he could gather as much as possible before he paid a portion to the Romans. He was rich, but he also didn't have any friends, didn't have anyone who loved him. The adequacy question is, am I worthy? Am I enough? And now Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us, was a short man. Maybe he was trying to compensate for something. Maybe by his gathering of wealth and riches, thanks Leona, at least someone laughed at that joke. Maybe by his gathering of wealth and riches, he was trying to make himself feel worthy. Maybe he thought, if I get enough money, monetary value, that will define what I am worth. That will be enough for me. The identity question is probably the most fundamental of all. It's the question, who am I? Who am I really? Not just how do other people see me, but what is it that defines and makes up this person that I am. These questions of intimacy, adequacy, and identity are questions that all of us have to struggle with. And if we look for answers in the wrong places, for Zacchaeus it was money, if we look for answers in the wrong places, we'll rapidly find ourselves deep and deeply lost in a dark wood where it seems that every turning is a wrong turning. Looking for the answers to these questions in the wrong things is like trying to slake your thirst by drinking seawater. It just makes it worse. And every time you try and fill those gnawing questions, am I enough? Am I loved? Who am I really? With something else, it just gets worse. But Jesus is all about finding the lost. As I said before, for Zacchaeus, it was money. For some of us, perhaps, we look for answers to those questions in our relationships. If I just get this relationship right, if I just have a boyfriend, or if I just have a girlfriend, or if I can just be intimate with this person. For some of us, we look for our worthiness and our identity in our work. If I do this well, then I will be someone. Then I'll be worth something. For some of us, it's sex. That's a pretty easy one to follow in our current culture. Whoops. For some of us, it's recognition. Or even ministry. Even Christian ministry can be a place where you seek to answer those questions about identity and adequacy and intimacy. And for some people, it's power or recognition. I wonder what it is for you that leads you deeper into a dark forest where it seems like there's no way out, deeper into being lost. Where does this put Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is desperate. He's desperate for anything that might help him to answer those fundamental human questions in a way that doesn't take him deeper into being lost. And he has heard that Jesus is coming to town. And perhaps Zacchaeus has heard that Jesus hangs out with the disrespectable people. Perhaps Zacchaeus has heard that Jesus, only a chapter earlier in Luke's gospel, has told this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector, which if you were here last week, I preached on, and where the tax collector is actually the man who goes home right with God. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He perceives in Jesus a glimpse of hope that maybe there is some way out. Maybe there is something that really can fill those three aching needs in his soul. And so Zacchaeus, being short, can't see Jesus because of the crowd. Had a bit of an experience like that yesterday with the wedding on a hill and taking photos and stuff. Some of us couldn't see the photographer. And so he finds himself in the humiliating position of having to run ahead of the crowd and climb a tree, just like a child. But he's so desperate to catch just even a glimpse of Jesus, because perhaps Jesus is the one who holds the key and the answers to his questions. To see Jesus, that's what Zacchaeus wants to do. That's what he's desperate for. And in fact, Jesus is the way out. He does have the answer to those questions for Zacchaeus, perhaps in unexpected ways. Jesus comes to where Zacchaeus is up the tree, and he stops. And the crowd around him stops, and Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." The word that Jesus uses is, "It is necessary. It is necessary for me to come and stay at your house today. I have to do this." Why does Jesus have to do this? Because he has come to seek and to save what is lost. And he knows that Zacchaeus is lost. And so Jesus answers Zacchaeus' quest for intimacy. Zacchaeus, it's necessary for me to come and stay at your house today. Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' life. I don't know if you've ever had anyone do that to you. Will, by the way, it's necessary for me to have lunch at your place tomorrow. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Jesus invites himself in. But in doing that, in going to Zacchaeus' house, in becoming a friend to him, a friend that Zacchaeus has never had before, Jesus is answering his deep quest for intimacy. Will someone love me? Yes, Zacchaeus, Jesus loves you just the way you are. He's invited himself right into the middle of your life. Jesus answers Zacchaeus' quest for adequacy. All the people, this is verse 7, saw this, that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' home and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Am I worthy? Is the question that Zacchaeus has been trying to answer all his life by accumulating huge amounts of money. And suddenly here is Jesus saying, "You don't have to do anything more. You are enough. I will be your guest. No matter what anyone else thinks of you." He's a sinner. He's a collaborator with the Romans. He's ripped us off. Jesus says, "I will be your guest. You're enough. You don't need anything more. Just my presence." Jesus answers Zacchaeus' quest for identity. He reframes who Zacchaeus is. The whole town is saying, "Zacchaeus is a sinner. He's a horrible person. We shouldn't hang around with him. We shouldn't associate with him." Jesus says, "Salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus is no longer defined by what he has done. He's defined by an identity that is given to him by God as part of God's covenant promises. Not because of what Zacchaeus has done, but because of who God has made him to be. For Zacchaeus, it was money. I wonder what it is for you that Jesus has come to seek and to save you in your lostness. What does it mean to live as people who have been found by Jesus in the midst of our own lostness, despite what we may have done, the appalling or despicable or even little minor things that seem to hardly matter? Despite our quest for intimacy and adequacy and identity in all the wrong places, Jesus finds us in our lostness and says, "You are worthy. I love you. You are a child of God." Living as found people involves repentance. It involves turning away from those ways that lead us further and further into death, further and further into that dark forest from which it seems there is no escape. For Zacchaeus, it's money. Zacchaeus stands up and says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Money? Huh, who needs it? It doesn't fulfill those needs. He's free to repent, to give it away, to live a different lifestyle. That's the same for us. We don't need those things to try and fill those questions. Jesus is enough, and he can help us to live a different way. And then faith, receiving Jesus and his scandalous grace. Because Jesus' grace for us is always scandalous. Always. If people knew what I was really like. if people knew what you were really like, and they knew that Jesus had invited himself into my heart and your heart and Zacchaeus' heart and his house, that's an absolute scandal. You see, in just a few short days from this passage, when this passage is written about, Jesus finds himself up a tree. He didn't climb up there. He was nailed there. And as Jesus hung on the cross, he was naked. He was shamed. He took on our shame so that we would not have to be ashamed. On the cross, Jesus showed you how deep God's love for you is. This deep. You are worth this much. On the cross, Jesus, through his forgiveness, redefined your identity. You are no longer defined by what you have done. You are defined by who God has made you to be through Jesus. On the cross, Jesus answered those questions of intimacy and adequacy and identity. God does love you. You don't need to be ashamed. You are enough. You are worthy. You are children of God. For it is that Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Perhaps there is a way tonight in which you know that you have become lost. Jesus invites himself into that part of your life. Invites himself to bring salvation and healing and the answers to life's deepest questions. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, and salvation has come to you also. Amen.